Hey guys, it's Haley. Just wanted to let you know that when we had disclaimered and said that we were a little confused on some of the seasons of what happens as far as Mary Winchester's backstory, we were way off. So we're just re-disclaimering. We realize we fucked up. We just want to apologize and let you know that we did do our research and we did realize we fucked up. So disclaimer that we fucked up. We've seen 14 seasons of this over like 10 times probably between Tasha and I. We've seen this show way, way a lot. So we're going to fuck up every once in a while. We want to acknowledge the fact that we fucked up and hope you are still enjoying everything you are listening to. And yeah, thanks. Bye.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Oh, man. I'm excited to get down on season one, episode two.
Yes, our Wendigo.
Yes, I am Tasha Ray.
I am Haley Marie.
And this is Get the Salt,
a supernatural podcast.
Woohoo!
We're doing it.
Episode two.
Yes, season one, episode two. Our episode two.
And their episode two.
And their episode two. Here we go. We're just going to dive right in this time because hopefully you heard episode one and know who we are.
And at least watch the show because there's going to be spoilers all the time.
Yep.
So we start out with a recap of the first episode. And can I say that this would be like a great trailer for a movie, the way that they...
Yes, that's what I was thinking too. It's very Haunted House-like.
But, and then I imagined it in like the guy's deep voice.
Yeah.
Where it's like, November 2nd, 1983. What happened that night? What they witnessed sent two brothers on a quest for answers.
That's exactly how... 22
years later.
So... we go through our recap, yada, yada, yada.
And then it's John's journal takes the boys to Blackwater Ridge.
Mm-hmm. We learned that
Lost
the end
Creek,
of the last,
Colorado.
Yep, we learned that at the end of the last episode, but we are actually in Blackwater Ridge at this point.
Yes.
And it opens the shot on some campers in the woods, which is the Blackwater Ridge.
Got three dudes.
Yeah.
Three dudes. Two of them are playing video games and it's
on their Nintendo DS.
Definitely tell that it's the early 2000s mm-hmm. because of the fucking phones and the games that we have the brother, the dude
making his video message on his BlackBerry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On his BlackBerry.
With his super
everything's
sweet
okay.
Puka shell necklace.
I'll see you or I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah, that's his video message he's sending to his sister.
You don't know it's his sister yet. You just know that he's sending one saying that he's going to talk to her tomorrow.
Yes. And then we have our, one of our video gamers is going outside to take a piss. And there's all sorts of growling and shit that you're hearing as the scene opens.
Yeah.
And moving around. And he's hearing it while he's taking a piss.
Like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah. And...
what's like his mouth hanging open.
He's literally peeing, and you're hearing all this shit happen, and all of a sudden he's just fucking gone.
Like, and he, like, scream yells.
Yeah.
Like, terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
And he disappears, and then, of course, the other two are like, what's going on? And so, dude,
and then the one guy goes out to check and see what's going on, and he fucking...
Gamer boom. Boy 2, go, like, looks out, and then he's just, like, snatched by the head.
Yeah, yeah. He just gets, like, sucked out of the fucking tent.
Yeah.
And then the other kid, though, the kid on the BlackBerry, he was smart about it and turned off his light while he was in his tent. Because I'm thinking he's thinking that whatever's out there isn't going to know that he's there anymore. I don't.
Also, it's like it's obviously knows something's going on. And it's a tent that's like fucking paper thin. Does he really think that that's going to protect him?
I know.
I'm gonna stay in the tent. What's going on?
Yeah, because the thing like Slasher tears through the tent and fucking takes him too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I super love his puka shell necklace. That is so 90s, early 2000s.
Yes, I had one of those.
I had so many of those.
I'm pretty sure
my kids still have some.
I had one, and it was given to me by one of my ex-girlfriends. So,
well, that was nice of her.
All right, and then it cuts back to Palo Alto, California, where Sam's walking through a graveyard.
Yeah.
And you find out that he's putting flowers on Jess's grave.
Did you notice, though, that she died? It was, like, the anniversary. It was also November 2nd that Jess died?
Yeah.
Did you notice that?
Yeah. She pulled a legit Mary Winchester. But Sam is like trying to apologize to her at her grave. Yeah. Like, I should have protected you. And I see there's a picture and I keep wanting to see what it is, but it's her and another person in the picture down at the bottom by her gravesite. And it's covered. The other person's face is covered by flowers. And then he covers the whole picture up with his flowers.
Oh, well, that was rude. I wonder who it is. I don't know.
Like, the whole thing ends by, like, her arm shooting out of the grave and grabbing his arm. And
yeah, because it was a dream.
It's a dream.
Yeah, it was a dream.
Surprise, he's not still there. He's not putting flowers on her grave.
Yeah, no, they fucking bounced.
Just a fucking nightmare.
Yeah, poor guy.
And they're on their way to Lost Creek, Colorado. You know, while they're in the car and, like, Sam first wakes up, Dean's super worried about him. He's like, you keep having nightmares.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on? And Sam's just, like, pulling the whole, I'm fine.
I'm fine. It's fine.
Don't
worry about it. Stop it.
Sam, I end up liking you at some point during
this. Both of us do.
But right now?
Both of us do. Like
you have your moments where I'm like, yay, you're not being an asshole. And then I'm back to like, why?
You took your tampon out and you're not on your period anymore and super fucking aggro and sad all the time.
Feminists don't at us. We're women. We know how it goes. But still. Yeah.
I don't know when I'm going to be on my period, but my body knows when I'm going to be on my period. And they're like, all the emotions. 1, 2, 3. Puh! There you go.
Let's cry over a fucking commercial.
Yep. Yeah. No, I don't like that.
I cried over a Lizzo fucking thing earlier today.
Are you on your period?
No. I'm just emotional.
Oh, my God. Okay.
It was like one of her performances. And I was like, oh, my God. Yes.
Her song that's out right now really grew on me. I did not like it at all when it first came out.
That Truth Hurts one?
Yes.
Oh, my God. I love it.
But it plays, because my kids like to listen
to... Lizzo, Call Us.
Yes, Girl, Call Us. But my kids like to listen to Brooke and Jubal in the morning, mm-hmm. on our way to school in the mornings, because I take them to school. And that Lizzo song, Truth Hurts, comes on every single morning. It is now... We're going into week 3 of school... being in session, and it's been one day that we have not heard that song.
See, and I'm that one, like, there's a meme going around where it's like, when you're in a super happy, committed relationship and nothing's wrong, but when Lizzo comes on and that song comes on, you're like, fuck yeah, you start screaming that song in the car. Like,
yeah. I hated it. It took 2 weeks.
I just took a DNA test.
Turns out I'm 100%
that bitch. And you're like, yes, I'm that bitch.
Yeah, it's taken it 2 weeks. 2 weeks to fucking grow on me. But they forced that shit on me, and it fucking worked.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
Lizzo, you are fucking wonderful.
Yes, girl, call us. Okay.
Back to the show.
Moving on. Squirrel. Okay. So they make it to the ranger station at Lost Creek, which is the town right below Blackwater Ridge.
Yes.
Because Blackwater Ridge is like empty nothingness in the wilderness. It's this like camper's
haven, no cell phone service except for like satellite phones.
Hitchhiker trails and all that shit. So they're at the...
Make sure you pack stuff to go out there because it's like dangerous.
Pack your provisions.
Pack your provisions. Yeah. What do you mean I don't have provisions?
I've got my fucking M&Ms.
M&Ms.
They are. They go into the ranger station and they're looking at the map and the layout of the land and how dense the forest is and how big the grizzly bears are in this area, which kind of plays into it a little bit because they blame all of these attacks on the grizzly
800
bears.
900 pound grizzly bears.
So they go in there and they're claiming to be like environmental study majors from this college that's nearby, and they're writing this story. And the fucking sheriff sees right through their bullshit. Like 100% right through their bullshit.
Yep. And he assumes that they're Haley's friends. And Haley
is a character that pops up at this point in time.
Like, we find out, you're one of Haley's friends.
And they're like, yep, sure am.
Yep. She's a pistol, ain't she?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's Josh, our friend and lovely editor that we have. He was finally watching Supernatural.
Yeah.
Started watching it like 2 weeks ago, and
we started doing the show.
They must be talking about Haley, aka me, when they said Haley. That Haley's a little pistol, isn't she? Or that Haley girl's quite the pistol. And then the sheriff's like, and that's putting it mildly. Like, he's like, oh, they must have been right about you. I don't know.
I agree.
Know if I'm a pistol or not? But
I think so. I've seen you get there, not towards me.
Grapple.
I've seen you get there, though.
Yeah,
I was not, like, yeah.
It's not pretty when I get there, but when I get there, fucking watch
It's
out.
So cool, though.
Yeah. So,
anywho. So, they get so, the paperwork well, from him.
Yeah,
they assume
because
that-
they had found out that Haley was throwing all sorts of shit up in the air at the ranger station because she was looking for her brother and wanted to put out this missing persons that her brother was not contacting her anymore.
But the paperwork that he had submitted through the ranger station
said,
says that he wouldn't be back until, I think it's the 24th of whatever.
Something like that. It's like a few days out from where she's trying to file this missing persons report. But the reason why she wants to file it is because he's no longer sending her these video messages.
Yeah.
And that's how she knew he was okay. And so the sheriff is like, fuck all. Oh, whatever.
And Dean's like, well, to put her mind at rest, can I see the paperwork? And that's how he got the address to find her.
Yep.
And then, of course, they
meet Haley.
They meet Haley, and they pull a fast one on her as well. And they're like, we're rangers. Of course, they look fucking 12. So she's like, can I see some ID, please?
And, of course, they have it, because GEDs, fake IDs, and give them hell attitude. I mean,
yes.
of course they have it. Yeah. But Haley likes baby. She notices the car
out the door.
It must be in the name.
It must be in the name.
That's all I can think of.
There's nobody named Tasha in the show, and it, like, hurts my heart.
But hey, you have another whole season coming.
And Dean is like, Dean's ears perk up when she's like, nice car.
Oh, duh.
And then
that's how you get an in with Dean.
Yeah. And like as they go, she like lets them into the house. And as they walk into the house, Dean turns back and he's like, oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Which I mean,
well, because she's fucking hot.
She is hot.
She's way hot.
So hot.
Yeah.
She's a pretty girl.
She's a nice lady.
She's a nice looking lady.
I'd fuck her. But we find out that Haley and her brother Tommy, who is the one that was the BlackBerry kid that was sending her the messages.
Yes.
And then they also have a little brother, Billy?
Ben.
Benny?
I think it's Benny.
I don't know. He doesn't talk a whole lot. He kind of gives me
the vibe. He's got the dark, broody, angry teenager vibe.
He kind of reminds me of the kid from Wedding Crashers. The kid that makes the painting of Vince Vaughn down in the basement.
Oh, my God.
That's who he reminds me of. And I honestly don't even mention him in my notes until, like, the end of the episode when he actually perks up and says something.
About the bear being 800, 900 pounds?
I don't know. I don't remember even what he says.
He doesn't really talk all that much.
Yeah, well, when they're talking to the cops, when they're feeding them that bullshit story.
Yeah, and Sam's just, like, standing there all derpy, like, yeah.
Yeah, that's what it was. Mm, yeah, yeah. But we find out that Haley and Tommy, the brother that's up camping that's missing, and this Vince Vaughn painting.
Ben.
I think it's Billy. I think it's Billy.
I think it's Ben.
Okay.
I think she calls him Benny.
I thought she said...
Don't fucking quote me on it. We don't know.
We didn't even write it down.
I didn't even write the brothers' names down because I didn't... I just called them dude one through three for the camp stuff, and then I just said brother. So...
Yeah.
Because they're not super... They're important in the show, but they're not super important to, like, actually remember their names. I just remember the chick's name because it's Haley, and I'm like, oh, that's my wife's name.
Yeah.
Me. So...
But we find out that they're, like, self-sufficient. They're, like...
And they always keep tabs on each other.
They don't have any parents.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they do somewhere, but they're living together.
Are they dead? We don't know.
We don't know. We never find out.
No. But she's definitely determined to find her brother, and Dean totally identifies with that because he's like, I get it. I'm trying to find... My father.
She's trying to get the local authorities to help her find her brother, but obviously they're not because he has this permit that he's going up into the mountains until a few days out from where she's trying to get their help.
Yeah.
So she's about to go up the hill and find
by herself.
She's
with
finding
a guide.
Him her damn self.
Yeah, she hired
a
guide.
She's like, fuck you guys, I'm doing it. I'm doing it, and I'm doing it well.
Yeah. So she hires a guide, and then she's like, well, I'll see you up there.
Yeah, because they said that they were going to head up there, too.
She shows them the videos that Tommy's been sending her.
Mm-hmm.
And Sam sees something that, like, nobody else in the room sees. So he asks her to send all the pictures or the videos to him. Because he's super smart Sam.
Yeah. Three frames of things. But we also find out
shadow.
That these quote unquote grizzly bear attacks, which is a bunch of bullshit, happen every 23 years, which is a pretty. It dates way back.
Dates back where, like, things go into hibernation and then they come out. Like, It comes out, what, every 17 years?
Something like that. You It.
Locust. Locusts come out, like, what, every 12 to 17 years?
Something like that.
So.
But they find out that every 23 years, all these campers and hikers and shit go missing or...
And they're all blamed on grizzly attacks.
They're all blamed on grizzly bear attacks.
And then they find that one kid survived in 59.
Yeah.
So they go to interview the old man.
He's super fucking crotchety and angry about everything.
Yeah, but then you see he's more afraid the more that they talk to him.
He doesn't want to explain what happened because he's like, no one fucking believed me back then. Why the fuck would I tell you now?
Yeah.
Like, this thing broke into their cabin, which didn't break in. It opened the fucking door.
The thing unlocked it.
Yeah.
Like,
and walked in and took his parents, and they didn't even... He said he didn't even know that it was in the house until he heard his parents screaming.
Yeah. So it was smart enough to unlock the cabin door and go in there.
Quiet enough.
And he doesn't know why it left him, but it did leave 3 claw marks on his upper chest.
A major, major scar, especially if you think about when he was a kid when that happened. And it's still that big. Like, it fucking left him for... It left him quite the...
Yeah, and he was mangled when he came out, which is saying something.
But he had to blame it on this grizzly bear because nobody believed him that something else had happened. But how many grizzly bears do you know that's just going to fucking unlock your door and be super quiet about everything?
Yeah.
I mean, everything was just... He fed into people's fears, basically, and changed his complete story because of whatever was living in the woods.
Yeah.
When we find out.
Dean says that the way it moves could be like a skinwalker, maybe a black dog.
Right.
And then Sam's like, well, it's corporeal if it left a scar on him. And Dean's like, really? Professor Corporeal?
He's like, I went to fucking college. I can use big words.
And then they're like, well, corporeal means you can kill it. So.
Yep. Yeah. He's like, fuck your big words. If it's concrete enough to leave a scar like that, means we can fucking kill it.
Which, by the way, when I was first listening to this, I'm like, the fuck is a black dog? Like, what does that even mean? So
I didn't look it up, but I'm pretty sure it's a hellhound.
Well, I looked at it, and that's one of the first things that pops up is a hellhound. Mm-hmm. And it's also...
it's an omen for death.
It's a spectral or demonic entity found primarily in the folklore.
I love my folklore. Holy forking sherballs.
Primarily in the folklore of the British Isles, the black dog is essentially a nocturnal apparition, in some cases a shapeshifter, so kind of like a skinwalker.
Yeah.
And is often said to be associated with the devil or described as a ghost or hellhound.
Yeah.
So, and then this is like the last time you ever hear of them speak of like a black dog, and then they just go into calling it a hellhound.
You want to know it.
So.
The black dog. The Grimm, because it's also called a Grimm.
Uh-huh.
It's in Harry Potter.
Really?
Yes.
I don't Potter.
I Harry Potter probably. So hardcore.
I should probably Harry Potter more.
Harry Potter so hardcore. But yes, it's in The Half-Blood Prince, I believe.
I don't know that.
Pretty sure.
I do now.
Yes.
Thank you, nerd.
You're welcome. I want to get a teacup that has, because they're reading their tea leaves in... one of their classes.
And it has the dog in it.
It has the dog in the bottom.
Okay, I watched the movies. I remember that.
Yeah.
I don't book when
but
it comes to that.
But it's not a Grimm or a black dog. It turns out to be his... it's The Prisoner of Azkaban. That's the one it's in. Because it turns out to be his... It's Sirius Black. He can turn into a dog. Oh. Anyways, I...
Back to Supernatural.
Sorry! I Harry
Fucking
Potter really
Potter
hard.
Nerd.
Yes.
Yes. So... They get all everything ready to, like, go and out to the woods, which their version of getting ready to go out into the woods and is Haley and the guide's version is
two completely different things. Two completely different things.
Like, they're packing guns and knives and, like, shit to kill whatever it is out there.
All sorts of different.
And they're, like, food and shelter and heat.
Yeah.
Like, that's what they're thinking of
normal,
with, like,
normal people.
Hiking boots
and
shorts and, like, bug spray.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they have, what does she say, biker boots and jeans?
Yeah.
Biker boots and jeans?
Yeah. Are you hiking out in biker boots and jeans? And Dean's like, sweetheart,
I don't wear shorts. But gym teacher Dean does, so we're going to throw that
out
there.
It's so good.
It is so good. That comes up in later seasons. Sorry, not sorry. Spoiler alerts. We disclaimered all of the shit. I promise.
But Dean in
gym teacher Dean does.
Gym teacher shorts. Mm-hmm. Red.
Red shorts.
Red shorts.
Shorty shorts.
With, like, the tube top socks.
Tube top socks? They're tube socks. They're just tube socks. They're not tube top socks.
I've had a lot to drink. I apologize. Not much to eat. Lots of liquids. My bad.
Tube socks. Yeah. Yeah, they're...
Excuse me.
Excuse me. But the... I think that their guide, Roy...
Yeah.
And the only reason I remember it's Roy is because it's... No one likes Critic Roy. Or what does he say?
Is it Roy?
It is. But...
I thought his name was, like, Gary.
Kind of looks like a Gary.
I watched this twice, and I don't even remember his name.
So we...
He's the guide. I called him Tracker at first. I'm like, nah, he's not a tracker. He's a guide.
He's a guide. He does track, though. He does a pretty good job. But we are... They're, like, getting ready to go up on this hill, and it scene cuts over to Tommy and one of the Game Boy kids. Game Boy? Is that a good thing? No, it's a Nintendo DS. Like, one of the gamer kids that was in the
other
tent. It's
one of the old school ones.
Yeah, so we scene cut over there to the guys, and they're, like, hung by their wrists. They're bloody. They're beaten. They're just...
They're real, like, somewhere. Royally but fucked, and they know that somewhere. They're going to die.
And we know that they're somewhere
it
because...
It looks like they're in a mine shaft in the middle of, like,
yeah,
nowhere. Because you can see that there's, like, wood boards around.
Yeah, there's wood slats, and their wrists are tied to something.
And
so
they
they're...
do explain at some point in here, we didn't say it, but they explain at some point that there are a bunch of abandoned, like, mining tunnels everywhere out there.
Yeah. So they're tied up, and they're beaten, and you hear, like, this... growling and the footsteps and you hear the ripping and tearing of the skin and the bones
and the kids screaming and it's not the brother, it's his friend that gets eaten. So
and you hear all of it off camera. There's like not a whole lot of blood and gore.
Not very graphic.
No, not at all. The most graphic part of it is that there's blood on their face and dirt.
Yeah. Boy, take a shower.
You schmeow.
Yeah. Like as they're walking through, Haley gets real sassy and she's like, you're walking out here. You have nothing with you. He's carrying a duffel bag. Like, who are you?
Well,
like, she figures out they're not park rangers.
The guide is, he calls out Dean because he almost steps in a bear trap.
Yes.
And it's because, and the reason why he calls him out because of that is because they're saying that they're park rangers. Well, if you're a park ranger, you'd probably be able to recognize where there is a bear trap.
A fucking bear trap.
So the guide kind of calls him out a little bit, and I feel like that gives Haley a little bit of courage to be like,
who are you?
Who the fuck are you? You didn't even pack any provisions.
Yeah.
Like, how are you going to survive up here? What the fuck is your problem, basically? And so Dean is like... He kind of tells her a half-truth. It's not really the whole truth, but it's not really, like, feeding her a line of bullshit. He's basically
We're looking for our father.
We're looking for our father, yeah.
We're looking for daddy.
So that's what I would call.
I would call him daddy,
that's
too.
That's what I would call him, yes.
Oh, man, Jeffrey Dean Morgan. I would call you daddy any day.
But so they basically, you know, he tells her, Sam's my brother. We're up here looking for our father. And
she's like, why should I believe you? And he's like, this is the most honest,
I've
ever been with a woman.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
most honest.
Boy.
Yeah.
You need to check your priorities.
And he even, like, does, like, this side take, like, with his eyeballs. Like, this is the most honest. Yeah, this is the most honest I've ever been with a woman. Like, he had to check his brain for a second. And that's when he's like, what do you mean I didn't pack any provisions? And whoosh, whips out his fucking
peanut M&M's.
Peanut M&M bag. Yeah, because that's going to sustain you. What the fuck?
They're peanut M&M's.
But
they
come in handy.
And sugars.
They come in handy later. Hansel and Gretel's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they come in handy. Sure.
So the guide finds the guide finds the campsite and, like, yells for them to go, like, see where it is.
They make it to the coordinates first, though.
Yeah, they make it to the coordinates first. And
the
then
coordinates that John left in his journal that the boys now have, they make it to these coordinates and...
I'm just paraphrasing. That's all.
For what? No, I know, but they realize that it's, like, dead silent.
Yeah, and there's, like, not even crickets.
And that's pretty like, and intimidating as far as, like, where you're at.
And nobody notices. Nobody else notices except for them. Like, they all think it's normal, and they're like, it's fucking dead silent.
Yeah,
out
there's
here.
Something.
Like, what the fuck?
Something strange is afoot. Like, there's this is not right. Like, something is going on. So, but yeah, and then our guide friend finds the campsite,
and it's just fucking mangled. Like,
yeah.
Blood everywhere. Everything is torn to shit. Everything is scattered about. Mm-hmm. Like, it's been gone through. it's just awful. And so they find the satellite phone on the ground, and they
everything's broken and just...
And she, it's Haley starts becoming, like, scared that her brother's actually dead. And so Sam and Dean are like, well, just wait. He might still be alive.
There is a chance. And then they hear these cries for help. Just
like screaming
through the woods. Cries for help that are just, like, sends chills
like
down
bone chilling. So they run to go and try and find this, like, this person who's screaming for help. And then... they notice that they should probably go back to the campsite.
Yeah, Sam tells them to.
Yeah,
we need to
hightail it back.
Yeah,
and so they go back and they realize
all of their
stuff is gone. Yeah. All their provisions, all of their bags, everything is gone.
Their backpacks and
Dean's like, so much for fucking provisions.
Mine are in my pocket, bitch.
And that's when they realize the monster's fucking smart.
Yeah,
it's.
Like a super hunter.
Like super hunter. Super hunter. And then Sam's like, light bulb, super smart Sam. Super smart Sam.
Yeah.
And he's like, we need to look in Dad's journal. And he pulls out the page to the Wendigo.
Yes.
And he's like, look at this. And Dean's like, no, those aren't here.
That's because so the lore that I looked up on this part with Wendigos is that they are native to Nova Scotia in the Atlantic coast and the Great Lakes region of Canada. And if you remember back to where we're taking place, the Blackwater Ridge is in Colorado. So Sam is like, or Dean is like, this doesn't make any sense. They're not this far west. Why would you even think it's a Wendigo? But with the lore that happens with the Wendigos is they're said to be the spirit of a lost hunter that goes mad and resorts to cannibalism.
Or, like, anybody who pretty much, because some people eat flesh to believe that it's for power.
Yeah. And that's, that kind of, like, plays a role in this, too, because that's how they kind of, quote, unquote, live for as long as they do, because they're rationing out all these fucking people, which is gross. But, they are said to be super fucking tall, like 15 feet tall, and their skin is stretched so tight that it's got like this really creepy transparent skeletal structure. But they're said to have like massive, great big eyeballs, long, long claws, and some lore say, depending on what area you're looking at, some lore say that they're really, really fast, and some say that they're not very fast. They're kind of slow in their stature and their walk, but it doesn't really matter because the way that they kind of lure people into their area is that they can mimic
human
voices
behavior.
And the voices. They can throw their voices and mimic the voices and lure people out of wherever they are, which is... kind of when they mention this, and because they do mention that part in the show, along with the lore that I had found, but that makes total sense of why they heard all these cries and screams for help.
Yeah,
and it's pretty intense. And there's lore all over. My husband actually, when I was watching this, came down and was talking to me about it because I was in the part where I was looking up the lore, and he was like, well, yeah, it's the they're skinwalkers, and I'm like, no, they're not really skinwalkers though. Like they kind of mimic it a little bit, but they're Nova Scotian. They're cold.
There's another
regions.
One here that says it's a creature of Algonquinan Native American legends.
So this
that
is
would
the one
devour
that,
human flesh to survive a harsh winter.
So this is the one that my husband was telling me about, and he has this like fucking thing against skinwalkers. This is why we're not allowed to have a hairless cat that I really want.
Jesus.
Because he has this thing against skinwalkers and they freak him the fuck out really bad. My husband and I sound like fucking hippies, I'm not gonna lie. But so the Native American skinwalkers, their lore comes more from their spirit being replaced by a demon because they do something that is so foul and so against human nature, like eating human flesh.
Yeah.
And when it comes to the Native American ones, the skinwalkers, they're more, they eat their family.
Yeah.
And they get replaced.
To survive.
To survive.
They're starving.
Right. And so they eat their family, and it's like the thought of eating your family, even though you're doing it, it's a selfish reason because you want to survive. You don't want to, you know, put your family
and
first.
And then you're replaced.
So you're replaced with this demon that lives
this
inside
you. Insatiable hunger for flesh.
So there's a lot of lore on Wendigos, like a lot.
Yeah.
And it just depends on the region that you're in on what lore you're going to pick up. But that's part of the reason why, again, that's part of the reason why Dean doesn't believe that it's a Wendigo right off the bat.
Not necessarily
because it's not in the right region. Yeah. But they're pretty scary.
So they find out that, like, the bodies are dragged from the campsite.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just kind of stops.
Right. And the guide
realize it's not a skinwalker or a black dog. They're like, definitely not either one of those.
Yeah,
like, it's ruling them out.
It's for sure a Wendigo. And then the guide, he, like, him and Sam get into it and have this, like, pissing match where they're pushing and shoving each other back and forth because Sam is like, dude, you're not going to out hunt this.
Yeah, it's...
This is way smarter than you are.
Your gun is just going to piss it off.
Yeah, if you shoot at it, you're going to fucking piss it off and you're going to end up dying. And the guide is like, boy, I've been hunting shit since before you were off your mama's tit and blah, 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 blah.
Like, and I'm like, man, that's the wrong thing to say to
these
boys.
I thought the same thing. I was like, yeah, he didn't last long on his mom's tit because...
She got burned.
She gone. But
she gone.
Yeah. So Sam and the guide get into it, and Sam wants to take the guys, the whole group
back.
He wants to get them out of the woods because
he
realizes, it's a Wendigo. They're fucked, basically.
Yeah.
And
like
Sam,
they don't have the right stuff to kill it.
Yeah, and it because you have to kill it with fire.
You have to kill it with fire. It doesn't, like,
and all they have is guns. Yeah.
Knives and guns don't work against it. It just makes it angry.
Yeah. So, but then they also realize that even though it's daytime when they're having this argument, night is falling very quickly. And this thing is a very good hunter during the day, but it's an even better hunter at night.
Yes, because it has the cloak of darkness.
Right. So,
so they
decide to stay.
And they put these sigils on the ground.
They draw. See, I have it right here. No one likes a skeptic, Roy, because the guide, whose name is Roy.
Yeah.
He's
your,
like,
your magic symbols.
Oh, yeah. Your magic symbols are going to protect us. And he's like, no one likes a skeptic, Roy.
Motherfucker, it's sigils.
Yeah.
And
so
Dean draws them all around the campsite to protect them all from the Wendigo. So
it can't cross these
it
sigils.
It can't cross them. So the Wendigo starts screaming again, like a person calling for help, trying to get them to come outside of.
Well, you can't forget this super chick flick moment that they have, and we hear the line.
Yeah.
The line, the saving people and hunting things.
Yes,
it's the
family
business. So Sam is having, like, he's throwing this fit because he's like, we came out here to find Dad. Dad's not here. Me.
Yeah.
I'm just me.
And so why are we even still here?
Yeah.
Dad passed on the journal so we can carry on with saving people and hunting things.
The family business.
And the family business. I wrote it backwards. And then I wrote it down. I wrote it backwards. Sad face.
But, yeah, so we hear the famous line. There's so many famous lines that have turned into so many different things.
Yeah, I have a shirt that says, no, I gave it to Forrest, but I had a shirt that said saving people, hunting things, a family business.
Yeah, I
had a child and gained weight, and I can't wear it anymore. So.
Aww, sad face.
There's that. She doesn't even fucking wear it, so I'm going to take it back and put it on a
sweater. Yeah, Forrest, damn it.
Jesus, Forrest.
She's coming into your closet.
Get
you watch
fucking
out.
Fucking life together. I love you. I'm just kidding.
But yes, so then as Tasha had said, they hear more cries for help, and they hesitate for a second, though. They don't instantly run after it this time like they did
they
in the daytime.
Wait. Yep. And then, you know, of course, the guide trying to be macho starts
Roy's
trying
fucking
to
dumbass
shoot at it.
Shooting at it.
I'm going to laugh if we find out that it's the wrong fucking name.
It's not. I guarantee it. I guarantee it.
But they... Like, he starts shooting at it, and then you hear it scream, at like, wincing scream, like it hurt because it got shot. And so, you know, the guy's like, I hit it, and he starts running
takes
towards it.
Takes off after it. Like,
and everybody's
did
like,
shit.
No,
obviously.
Don't.
Obviously, this thing can mimic behaviors of a human being, and it's fucking smart because it took your fucking pack.
It used to be a human.
Yeah.
Like,
fucking
get your shit
idiot.
Together, boy.
Roy, God damn it.
Jesus.
Damn it, Roy.
So, and then, you know, he gets snatched.
Well,
so.
Duh. He fucking bitch bye. Like,
yeah.
Like, straight hooked and killed, like
hook, line, and sinker.
Whoo! Up in the tree. He fucking gone.
He's gone.
Yeah.
So they all run back into, you know, the safety of the sigils, and then morning comes.
And Sam and Dean try to give the full rundown
of, like, what a Wendigo is.
On the lore of the Wendigo, just to kind of, like, not really put their mind at ease, but kind of solidify the fact that we know what the fuck we're talking about.
It really
is
real.
You have got to fucking listen to us.
Yeah.
And because, obviously, one of their people have already been killed because they weren't fucking listening to him.
Yeah.
Like, this is...
Like, surprise, he's more than likely dead.
Yeah. And all the while, I didn't really notice this until a little bit after they were telling all of the lore, was that Dean was rummaging through the, like, scattered remains of this campsite.
Yeah.
Because he's looking for something to make a Molotov cocktail.
Yes.
So they can fucking kill it with fire, because that's the only way to kill it.
At least have something.
Something. Because their guns, their knives, their...
Nothing they
whatever
have works.
Whatever they have, it's not going to work, because the only way to kill this thing is with fucking fire. How fitting is that?
Yeah.
Episode 2. Really, Eric Kripke? Like,
kill it with fire. It's like spiders. That's my goal, and that's my whole thing.
It's like their fucking mom.
Oh, I did not put that together.
And of course, I even have it right here in my notes. How fucking fitting.
And then, of course, Haley's like, but how can Tommy still be alive after you told us what a Wendigo is? And
yep.
Dean's like, well, honestly, you're not going to like it, but it stores its victims alive. Like, so that way
it can survive through these harsh winters.
Yeah.
The reason why it turned to cannibalism in the first place. And this is the first time the brother pipes up when he's like the Donner Party.
It's like, yeah.
Exactly like the fucking Donner Party.
So they end up deciding that they have to track the Wendigo back to its hidey hole. It's hidey hole. And they're like, guns and knives don't work. Torch it. And he, like, pulls up the fucking Molotov
cocktail. His Molotov cocktails.
Yeah, he's got it in his hands.
Yeah, he is scavenging for anything that he can. Scavenging.
Words.
Words are hard.
So they start tracking it through, like, all of the claw marks on the trees and everything. And
yeah,
then
they're trying to track it, and this thing is smart enough to be like, fuck you.
Well, then they start realizing that it's, like, it's too easy to track this thing. It's way too easy. These claws are everywhere, and it's, quote-unquote, rabbit ears leading us right to it.
It's perfect. They're perfect claw marks. Like,
and
you couldn't, like, I could track, like, this thing at this point.
Yeah.
It's,
I,
like,
can track it.
Scratch marks on the tree and blood smear. Scratch marks on
the
tree the and blood smear. Things.
I hate camping.
What?
I like camping, but I like glamping.
Oh, you're one of those.
I'm one of those.
Gross. I love you. I love you. I promise.
I love you, but I do not like sleeping in a fucking tent. I will not sleep on the ground. Not going to happen. I'm kind of bougie. It's fine. Back to the story. Sam figures out that it's just leading them into a trap. And when they figure that out, like, legit right when he says it, then everything starts happening and they start hearing all the rustling and they're
sounds
like, fuck.
And
it's
running
alive
and
during the day and it's trying to get us during the day. And then the goddamn guide falls out of the tree.
With a broken neck.
With
he
a
didn't
broken
even
neck.
Save him to eat him. He was that fucking pissed off at him that he was shooting at him.
Yeah.
That he just fucking snapped his neck and dropped him from a tree.
Yeah. Not worth my time. I don't even want to eat you.
Nope.
Fuck you.
Nope. You're a garbage person. You probably taste like garbage. I'm going to snap your neck. Bye.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So they all start running, and it's almost like they scatter. Like, they pair off into
opposites. Yeah, they didn't do a very good job, did they?
No.
Mm-mm.
And with that, it's the Wendigo captures, like, it corners Dean and Haley.
Yeah.
And it captures them and takes them for food.
Yep.
So when Sam figures that out, he also realizes, with the help of the little brother.
The little brother. We're just going to call him little brother because I did not write his
name
down.
He left a fucking trail of M&Ms, like Hansel and Gretel.
Yeah.
So, breadcrumbs, but better than breadcrumbs.
Yeah, he definitely Hansel and Gretel'd it.
So, they follow the M&Ms to the lair,
which is an abandoned mine.
A mine shaft. By the way, can I just say that it, like, prequels the My Bloody Valentine that all happens in mine shafts? The one movie that Jensen Ackles did during one of the seasons. I don't know if it's, like, after this season or, like, after a few seasons later, because he does definitely look older.
Really? I haven't seen My Bloody Valentine.
You haven't?
Uh-uh.
You should.
Okay.
It's, like, the one movie that he did. Well, he did more than one movie.
Did you know that he was on the roster to be auditioned for Captain America, but yeah, he didn't turn it down because of Supernatural.
Yeah.
I love my boys.
He did a few other movies, but the main one was, that I remember is My Bloody Valentine, because it's...
Sam was in Wax, House of Wax.
Yeah, and he's the kid that got stuck...
in the piano.
In the piano, yeah. And they, like, try to get the wax off of him, and his skin starts peeling off with the wax.
Yes.
Yeah.
I did see that one.
I love that movie because Paris Hilton gets fucking impaled in the head.
Yeah, she does. It's a gruesome death, that one.
It's so good.
And it's very, very good. Anyways,
back to Supernatural.
Yeah, I'm totally swirling today.
So Sam and the little brother, like, find the Wendigo and they follow it. Like,
well, they find the mine shaft and they're walking along there and they're in this tunnel and they see the Wendigo leaving. So they hide and they keep walking along and they fall through. Yeah, they fall through this like old ass, shit ass, boarded
like hole. It's just a hole.
Yeah, basically.
And they find skulls and it's pretty much the Wendigo's like feeding area.
It's like his garbage can.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I'm done with this.
Let me
suck the meat
this
off the bone and... toss it into
it over the side.
Yep.
So
this is a garbage can.
They also find Haley and Dean, and they cut them down, save their lives.
And Dean like comes to, and he's like, "Where's the fucking thing at?" Like, yeah. He's like still all disoriented and shit, and he's like, "Where's it at? Where's it at?" Like ready to go.
And then they pretty much like pan over, and there's the brother. And at first they think the brother's dead, but then he like comes back to life,
like wakes up. Yeah, he wakes up. They cut him down. And now everyone is, like, driving the fucking struggle bus to get out of this mine shaft.
Yeah, they find flare guns. Dean finds
the flare guns, which...
Yeah. And they're trying to leave all the tunnels.
How convenient that there's two flare guns.
Two. So that way they can split up.
Yeah. And Sam is going to take Haley, Tommy, and then the little brother...
To safety. That's because they hear the Wendigo... in the tunnels.
Right. Because Sam tries to tell Dean when he comes to in his disoriented state that, where the fuck did the thing go? And Sam's like, oh, he's gone. But then they realize that he's...
not gone, because it's...
and he's coming back.
A fucking super smart Wendigo.
Yeah. Because he can run really fucking fast and run around all the hills and notice that they're gone.
Everyone. Yeah.
Yeah. So...
so Dean decides that he's going to be...
he's going to be the bait,
he's going to
call it out, and we get so many awesome one-liners.
Yeah.
Like, so many.
Want some white meat, bitch?
Yeah. Chow time, you creepy bastard. It's great. Yeah, I taste good.
I bet you do, Dean. I bet you do.
Oh, God.
Please. But, yeah. Please.
You want some white meat, bitch?
Yeah. I want some white meat. Mm-hmm. I want his white meat.
I want his white meat, too. Anyways, so Sam...
I feel like Beavis when I do that.
I feel like the chick from Mad TV.
Oh.
That one. And every time I make that sound, I think of the one with the sneeze guard when she's going through the salad
she's
line.
Up against
and she's
the
up
glass.
Against underneath it, and she's like, oh, and her cheeks keep blowing out. And then also when she's mattress shopping and she's like hip thrusting for Jesus, like bouncing on the fucking bed. Those are the two that I think of whenever
hip thrusting for Jesus.
She's catching some air in that scene. It's amazing. Oh, God. Anyway.
Oh, Lord.
So Sam takes Haley, Tommy, and the little brother towards the exit so that Dean can give us all these awesome one-liners and try and lure the Wendigo away from them so that they can make it out safely. But it...
and they, like, find the opening, and Sam's like, go, run, now, and...
somehow they end up at a dead end, like, because
the Wendigo, like, circles them somehow.
Yeah.
In a fucking tunnel.
I know. I don't know how this happens, but
so
it's for the show's sake.
Sam tries to shoot at them, and he misses.
He missed the Wendigo.
Thanks a lot, Sam.
Yeah, good job. Nice aim.
And then
he's out of practice for 2 years, okay? He's been to college.
And then he, plays the hero, and he's like, everybody, get behind me.
Stand behind me.
Because, you know, you can totally protect everyone with your super tall fucking body.
I'm just going to eat you all.
You goddamn
but
moose.
Then Dean comes to the rescue and fucking roasts the Wendigo's ass. Like,
yeah.
Straight up.
Like,
Hey, his bam. Skin is stretched so tight, because that's the Wendigo lore, stretched so fucking paper thin tight that when he shoots it, it just goes straight through his stomach and gets stuck in his rib cage and just lights his ass on fire.
And just melts him.
Yeah.
And he just turns into a puddle of fiery goop.
It's great. It's so great. He must have been a hairy hunter, though, because the Wendigo has, like, did you see the little hair?
The tufts?
The tufts of hair on his shoulders.
I did see the tufts.
Yeah. He kind of has a Gollum look to him a little bit.
Yeah. But, like, everybody... By the way, he asked, the thing that is the Wendigo, have you ever seen that one movie where, like, it's down in the caves, like, 50 feet below or something?
And yeah,
it's like
yeah. And they have, like, oh, what is that movie called? That's a good movie. I do like that movie. The Descent.
The Descent. So,
yeah.
The Wendigo that, in this show, in Supernatural, looks like the creatures from the movie The Descent.
It does. It's got...
Like, it has the little ear thing where it kind of, like, bat wings out.
Yeah.
And it almost looks
it's like... It's got really long arms, kind of like... It kind of reminded me of Slender Man, too.
Yeah, and the claws.
Uh-huh. But that's also in the lore. That's how he looks.
Yeah.
But it did look a lot like The Descent. The creatures in The Descent, which... That movie was fucking...
Which...
That movie was pretty cool.
The Descent came out in 2005, so I'm pretty sure that whichever show was first, like, I don't know when this came out. I'm pretty sure The Descent came out first before Supernatural. But I think one of their creatures was based off of the other. I'm pretty sure...
It could be. But we don't really see the Wendigo a whole lot. Like, we see kind of his outline. Yeah, we see kind of his outline. And then, yeah, you see his face at the very end because he's fucking on fire.
And it's very similar to the one from The Descent.
But either way, I mean, it was an obvious... Yeah. Obvious fucking shit was happening there.
Very obvious.
But Dean shows up and he fucking shoots him in the gut. It gets stuck in the flare gets stuck in his rib cage and he just fucking melts and catches on fire and he's there. That's the end of the Wendigo.
Yeah. And so they go back. They get everyone involved. They call the police so that way everybody like they don't show the mine shaft. I don't think like they don't really go back into the details of that. But they just say that it was a grizzly attack.
Yeah, they basically just said it was a great big bear that attacked him.
Yeah.
And,
they tell this story to the Rangers. It was 800, 900-pound grizzly. And Sam's just sitting there with, like, a straight face like,
yes, he is. Mm-hmm, yeah, sure. But they totally, and it's a believable story because that's what everybody's...
been blaming it on this whole time.
Yeah. And so it just...
That's the end of it. So Haley,
that's
at the
end of that whole thing. Yeah.
It's like, so I don't know how to thank you. And Dean like gives this shit eaten grin like, I know how.
I'm pretty sure I could tell you how to thank me.
I would thank him that way.
Fuck yeah.
Oh God, I would thank him. I would thank him like.
I'd thank him like 10 times.
I would thank him like 5 ways.
Yeah.
That way.
Get him up. Someone get me him up. There's a puddle
and
in the
chair. And
she's
like, must you cheapen the moment? And he's like, yeah.
Yeah. Duh. Hi, I'm Dean Winchester.
We haven't fully met before, but this is who I am.
This is how it happens.
So, she kisses him on the cheek, and she's like, I hope you find your father.
Yeah.
And then Dean's like, man, I hate camping.
Yeah. So does Sam.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
But then Sam kind of comes around and realizes that they have to keep saving people until they actually do find their father.
Yeah, like they can't just beeline it and try and find death.
Like
they have
get to
do
these places and then just be like, oh, fuck, he's not here. Bye. Like, I know you need saving, but we're on a fucking mission later.
Yeah, have fun saving yourself or dying. Like, whatever comes first. Yeah. Goodbye.
Later.
But he's like, no, we should actually probably do what Dad taught us how to do.
Yeah. Yeah, so he kind of comes around at the end, and it doesn't take him very long. It takes him 2 fucking trips, like...
A whole 2 episodes.
A whole 2 episodes, and Sam is on board. Way to go, Sammy.
Great storytelling, guys.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Sam's like, I'm driving. And Dean's like, all right, fine.
Here's the keys. You can drive for the next, like, 10 miles, and then I'm getting my car back.
I'm pretty sure by the next episode, Dean's driving anyway.
Yeah.
And that is the end.
Yeah, and I...
Of season 1, episode 2.
I like the way that they keep... Like, they keep true with the lore and the legends, though. Like...
Yeah.
Unless you were actually, like, sitting there researching the shit as you're watching it, you wouldn't really know that Wendigos are actually a thing.
Yeah.
And they're native to, like, the colder regions. And... I just think that the writing in these episodes are so fucking spot on. Because even when Dina's like, well, this is too far west for a Wendigo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look it up. It is. It's fucking Colorado.
It is. But it happens.
It does happen. But, I you know, we're getting to know Sam and Dean a little bit better at this point in the episode, who they are together as opposed to who Dean is and who Dean was when he came into Sam's apartment and who Sam was at that point.
Yeah, we're starting to find out, like, their relationship. They're
different, but they're coming together.
There's symbiosis.
Symbology. Symbolism.
Symbolism.
But it just continues to grow, obviously, as any character progresses, it should grow. So, I mean, they're doing a good job with that. But, I mean, the music is still fucking fire. The car is still amazing. It's still
fun to watch. Like, it's definitely still a hook, line, and sinker show. Like,
you're growing with the boys as they figure out who they are together.
I still love that they have baby voices. Like, as the show goes on, you can tell that they've fully matured into their adult voices. I know. And I'm like, oh my God.
They also go through a lot of fucking shit, though.
Yeah.
But.
Relatable.
Right? So fucking relatable.
All right.
So, yeah, that was it. This has been a production of the Undercover Capes Podcast Network. Please check out their other shows for all of your podcast and pop culture needs at undercovercapes.com.